If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, surely, my friend, you can find a body of believers somewhere who believe the Word of God, who want to worship Him, and who desire to carry out the Great Commission.
What is the church? Ask that question and you're likely to get a variety of responses. Cultural and denominational traditions often color our perception of the church. Though differences may have evolved between groups, the biblical role of the church remains unchanged. Today, on the Friday edition of In Touch, Charles Stanley takes a look at the responsibilities of the church, examining the foundation of the New Testament church. And as you listen, lay aside your assumptions about what church is or ought to be, and listen to the scriptural principles surrounding the important practice of gathering together with other believers. Remember that the church is more than a Sunday morning meeting and more than a denomination. It's the body of Jesus Christ, God's people, joined together by the common bond of the Holy Spirit. Stay tuned and discover your role in God's family, the church. With more, here's Charles Stanley.
When you think about church, what do you think about? The very word in the Bible, church, is a Greek word that's ekklesia, which means something that has been called out of something. So that the church is made up of those people who have been called out of the world system by the grace of God. They have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and now they have assembled together. They've become a part of this togetherness of what the Bible calls the body of Christ all over the world. So the truth is, the church, every single church, is made up of a group of people who've been called out of the world to gather together for the purpose of worshiping and serving the living God. Now, when I think about the purpose of the church, what is the purpose of the church? Well, the purpose of the church, and you see, this is why people don't join. What I want to join those organizations, what do? They eat and go to church and they ask you for money and they sing songs. Then you got to hear these boring sermons. Why do I want to go to church? Well, I'll admit that I've been to sometime that I thought, God, if I were lost, would I ever come back? No. No, I wouldn't. I already got enough problems that is. Why do I want to add another one by joining a church and having more responsibility on me? But you know what? When you get under the instruction of the Word of God, something happens in your life and you want to assemble with God's people. You want to be a part of that. Now, what's the purpose of the church to begin with? Well, in order to define the purpose of the church accurately, what you and I have to ask is, we have to ask the question, what's the ministry of the church? So I want you to get this down now. Watch this carefully. The ministry of the church is threefold. What is that? First of all, the church, as we assemble together, we have a ministry to God. Oh, no, wait a minute now. Isn't ministry service? Yes. Well, how can I minister to God? Listen, the first ministry of the church is to worship the living God. God desires to be worshiped and praised and adored. And we do that by singing and praying and giving and all the rest. We assemble together. Listen, we fellowship together. We smile. Listen, there's a joy in our heart. We don't come and sing for each other. If you just come and sing for each other, that'll get old fast. We assemble to worship the living God. Now listen carefully. The first ministry of the church is worship. That is our ministry to God. We worship Him and adore Him and praise Him, and we come before Him with clean hands, He says, and a clean heart. The 100th Psalm, though there's some New Testament scriptures, the 100th Psalm is the best way for me to picture that. Look at that, if you will. And most of us probably know at least some of it by heart. Look, if you will, what He says. The 100th Psalm. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who's made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We're His church. Listen to this. Enter, let's get out of the temple business now and get to the church. Enter His church house with thanksgiving. Enter His church with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. Grace, faithfulness, gratitude, thanksgiving. Listen, the words shout truth about God. It is a time to worship Him and to praise Him and to adore Him. And that's why coming to church is so very important. It's our ministry to God. The second ministry is to minister to believers. What is that? What's the ministry of the church to believers? The ministry of the church to believers is very clear. Look in the first chapter of Colossians, what the Apostle Paul said. talking about this very thing. First in Colossians, and look, if you will, in the first chapter, and look in the 28th verse. Paul talking about his ministry here, and he says, verse 28, he says, here's what we do, and here's why we do it. We proclaim him that is Christ, admonishing every man and woman, and teaching every man and woman with all wisdom, that we may present every man and woman complete in Christ. What is he saying? He says, the ministry of the church, first of all, to God is worship. The ministry of the church to believers, the people who make up that body, is what? It is instruction. It is edification. It is building them up. It is maturing the people of God. Go back, if you will, just to Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment. In Ephesians chapter 4, that's Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians. Look at this. Chapter 4, verse 11. He says, speaking of the church, he gave some to the church. These are the gifted men he gives to the church. He says he gave some apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, all of us are part of the body. He says, now he sends pastors and teachers for the purpose of doing what? Building up the body. Watch this. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, we understand it, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man and woman, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. He says, now, the ministry of the church is to do what? Build up the body so that we understand the ways of God. Watch this. And for our protection. As a result, we no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, speaking of the believer, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So what's our ministry to God? It's worship. What's the ministry to the believer? It is building them up. This is why, week after week, I just sort of hammer away at some principle of Scripture. Why? Because I want you to understand what God says so that you can grow. And not only that, so you can be protected from people who will send you very erroneous ideas about what God's like, the church, and everything else. So ministry number one is to God. What is it? Worship. Ministry number two is to believers. What is it? Edification, maturing the saints. Ministry number three is to the world. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that part of the ministry of the church is what? Is evangelism and mercy. And I want to add both of those. Evangelism and mercy. It is not only reaching people and explaining them how to be saved and bringing them to a knowledge of Christ, but it's also reaching out to hurting people who are poor and needy and sick and need the love and the caring of the body of Christ. So that the threefold ministry of the church tells you what it's all about. Ministry to God the Father, worship. Minister to the believers, edification, maturity. Minister to the world. What is it? Minister to the world is reaching them for Christ and helping meet their needs. Now, how does the church carry that out? How does the church carry that out? And you see, when you think about it, and I think about all the things that go on in a church, and sometimes somebody says, well, what's church like? And I want to say, well, a church is like a city. There's so much that goes on. There's so many aspects of the life of a church. So many people and so many needs and so many hurts and so many people to care for. So when he says, I will build my church, it has to be the Lord Jesus Christ building his church because no man or no group of men could possibly do it. Now, when I think about this, I think about the challenge we have. Jesus said, I will build the church, and I understand that's true. The challenge we have is keeping a balance. Now remember this. If the ministry of the church is minister to God in worship, minister to the believers in edification, minister to the world with the gospel, how do we keep that in balance? Because here's what happens oftentimes in a church. There are maybe a group of people there, or there's a group of people there, and they love worship. So what happens? They push the worship. We just want to be a church that worships. And so we love to come to church. We love to praise God. We love to be able to shout and praise God. Don't give us too much of this heavy doctrine business, because what I really want, I just want to feel good. Don't talk to me about sanctification, redemption, and justification. Don't give me all those big words. I just come to church. I want to come to church and be edified. And I just want to be built up. And I just want to praise God. And so the emphasis, lots of singing, lots of music, a little bit of preaching, a little bit of truth, a little bit of doctrine. And so it's praise and so forth. And sometimes, and I don't want to be critical, because I can get just as excited and I could shout a few times. Every once in a while, I could run around this platform up here because I get so excited about what God's up to. So I'm not being critical. I'm just simply saying this. If a church gets out of balance and it's all praise and it's all music, a little bit of preaching and not much of that, then what happens is what happens. Before long, their praise gets out of balance. Because listen, what is it that makes it possible for me to praise God? Genuinely praise Him. First of all, I got to know Him. Listen, the more I know Him, the better I know Him, the better I understand His ways and how He operates and how He works. Then when I come to praise Him, listen, I'm just not praising Him because I want to feel good. I'm praising Him because I see His faithfulness. I understand His grace to my sinful heart. I look to Him and understand His patience with me and how patient He is. He has a will for my life and a plan for my life. And I'm a part of God's great kingdom. That is, the more I understand His ways, listen, the more substance my worship is going to have. Okay, let's say, for example, now here's a church that's into Bible study. Man, listen, get your Bible out, get your notebook out. Let's don't have too much singing going on now. Are you ready? And so we're going to go verse by verse, and we're going to expound the Word of God. Well, here's what happens. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I believe in expounding the Word. That's what I'm going to do week after week. So what happens is, here's what happens. Over and over and over again, the joy in that worship. There's not much joy. And here's what those people think. Before long, they have the idea that worship is just a little preliminary to the big issue, which is the preaching of the gospel. In the body of Christ, it is worship, the Word of God, evangelizing and caring for the world. And so it's not any one of those, it's all three. So here's what happens. If the emphasis is too much on the one hand of just teaching and Bible studies and teaching and Bible studies and Bible school and Bible studies, something happens to worship and they get introverted. You know what? Don't give me this missions business. I just want to learn the Word of God. You know what? The reason I know whatever they're learning is not right, because if it were, the other two would be in balance. That's the reason. Okay, now let's take the third one. Here's somebody who says, we are a mission-minded church. We love to win souls. And our pastor preaches salvation every week. Oh, God help that congregation, because I can tell you right now, if you've been saved, you're not going to grow in your Christian faith by hearing how to get saved every week. So when a church gets all, listen, it's all evangelism, all missions. What happens? Something happens to the worship. Something happens to the Bible teaching. And listen, how do you become a good witness? By understanding the truth of Scripture. You see, you can't have those things out of balance. So what we strive for is balance, that we want to come in here on Sunday morning and worship the living God. We want to praise our Father. We want to give thanks to Him and confession, and oftentimes in singing, God bringing something to our heart, we say, God, forgive me for that. Let my heart and my hands, my life be clean before You as I worship You. We want to get in the Word of God to see what are the principles of Scripture. How can I learn something that will help me be what God wants me to be? Grow me up, conform me to the likeness of Christ. Then what am I going to do this? I'm walking out of here, sharing my faith. Thank God we can preach the gospel in every country in the world every day. Thank the Lord that we're out there doing exactly what He said, reaching the ends of the earth, keeping the church balanced, and we work diligently at that in order to make the body of Christ what it ought to be. And so when Jesus said, I will build my church, you can't neglect any one of those. We minister to God in worship, we minister to people in maturing them, and we minister to the world by reaching them with the truth of the gospel and in caring for them. Well, now, how does God carry this out? Well, I can tell you how it's carried a lot of times. Programs, big staff, organization, grease it, you name it. And you know what the real truth is? And I can say this publicly because I know it's true, that most staff members in most churches are unhappy because they're under such pressure to accomplish so much this goal and that goal and the other. And sometimes it gets harder and harder. But you know what? They're not happy. I'll tell you one of the reasons. Because somewhere along the way, they learn this is what you have to do to make a church grow, and we're into church growth. You know what the Bible says? Jesus said, I'll grow the church. And here's what I've learned. I hope I've learned this from a friend of mine. I'll never forget, he said, you work on you. Let God work on the ministry. And once in a while, somebody says, well, how did In Touch become so vast all over the world? What did you do? I didn't do anything. I'll tell you what I've been doing. I've been working on me for a long time, and I have a long ways to go. And what I've discovered is, if I work on me, then God will expand the work of the ministry where He wants it, at His rate of expansion, to the depth that He wants it to be, and with the effectiveness that He wants it to be. And you see, when people get into churches, trying to build churches and having church growth, all these things, we've been through all that. And you know what? That doesn't grow a church. Here's the two things that grow a church. You listening? Say amen. Amen. Here's two things that grow a church. Because you know what? These are the two things that grow you and me. Absolute, total dependence upon the Holy Spirit and His enabling power to give us understanding of the will of God, and recognize that we are absolutely totally dependent upon Him. Because He said to those disciples, He says, listen, you sit in the city of Jerusalem and don't you budge until the Spirit of God has come upon you, and the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be endued with power from on high. I would hate to think I had to walk out here on a single Sunday, just me, apart from God. One Sunday would wipe me out. Listen, that's the same way you and I are to live every day. Dependent upon the Holy Spirit to enable us, to give you instruction on your job, instruction in your family, instruction in the ways of God, no matter what you're facing. That's number one. The second is this, and that's prayer. And you can't separate those two. Prayerless people are not filled with the Spirit. Spirit-filled people are praying people. How does the church move? The church, listen, will either move forward on its knees, or it will move in circles or backwards off its knees. That's the way God has built His church. He's not building His church depending upon men and their eloquence or their prestige or their prominence or their position. He is not interested in any of that. God is interested in finding people like you and me, who recognize we have absolutely nothing to offer apart from Him, that it must be Him and Him alone, and willing to get on our face and cry out to God and express our total dependence upon Him. And God, if you don't do it, if you don't give us direction, if you don't give us wisdom, if you don't anoint us, God, it's going to be a total flop. God moves His church on their knees. Or they run in circles, or they run backwards. The work of the church is to be done, the power of the Holy Spirit, on our face before God. That's how the work has to be carried on. Now, so somebody says, well, wait a minute now. How will I know? I belong to a church. Well, how am I going to know that I belong to a church that it really is a New Testament kind of church? How am I going to know that? Let's say, for example, that you have never joined a church and you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, you know, I believe what you're saying. This church, if the church belongs to God, and Jesus Christ established the church, and He's the one who builds the church, and He's coming back after His church, which is exactly what He says. He's coming back after His church. Then I think I better get in here and become a part of a local body. How will I know? Three things you can remember. You ask yourself these three questions before you join a church. Number one. Does this church exalt the Word of God? Does this church believe that the Bible is the living Word of the living God, infallible, inerrant? Now, if the pastor gets up and tells you, well, the first 12 chapters of Genesis is mythology, the book of the Revelation is all mythology. There are some passages here that you can believe in some kind. Get out. Don't even think about joining. It's just what you've got to tell your children. Son, 15 years of age and going through all kind of temptations. You don't have to believe all this. Just sum up. The pastor said some of it's not true. Don't join that church. I would tell anybody. If the pastor tells you, listen, that part of this is true and part of it's not true, do not join it. First criteria, what is their view of the Word of God? Secondly, is that church committed to, and are they discipling the people? Are people being instructed in the Word of God? Are people learning the principles of God? Are people encouraged to allow Jesus to so work in their life to conform them to the likeness of Christ? Are they being matured as a result of being there Sunday after Sunday, fellowshipping with each other, loving one another, being built up in the faith? Number three, does that church have any kind of missionary evangelistic effort where they are genuinely attempting to get the gospel to the ends of the earth? It may be their cooperation with the rest of the churches, the denomination, whatever it might be, but is there an emphasis in that church? My friend, remember what we said. What's the three ministers of the fellowship? Worshiping God. Does that church exalt the Word of God and worship and praise Him? Is that church building up the believer? Is that church attempting to get the gospel out there? Or did they just sort of like it cozy and comfortable and convenient? And my friend, if that's what you're looking for, you're not looking for a New Testament church, you're looking for a club. And the church is not a club. The head of the church is not the pastor, but Jesus. We're just under shepherds. The minister of the church, worshiping Him. Minister of the church, edifying believers. Minister of the church, reaching the world. That's the kind of church you want to be a part of. Father, we love You and praise You. How we do thank You for the church. How we do thank You for the assembly of believers who love You, love each other, having the best news there is to tell, and knowing that no one has ever been disappointed by trusting You as their Savior. And that's their prayer for multitudes, millions of people, God, who hear Your message in Jesus' name. Amen.
Charles Stanley reminded us that one day Jesus Christ will return for His bride, the church. And once that happens, it will be too late to join His family. We learned that membership into Christ's church comes only by accepting His death as payment for our sins. Make that decision now and join the company of believers who look forward to seeing the Savior face to face. The Word of God delivers us from the bondage of every deception, every emotional snare, every negative attitude. We can make decisions with confidence and assurance because the Bible is absolutely trustworthy and the freedom it offers is real. But knowing the truth means much more than intellectual assent to it. There is a great difference in knowing what God wants us to do and actually doing it. Find help in applying God's truth through a free subscription to the In Touch magazine. In the pages of this encouraging magazine, you'll find a daily devotional that gives practical guidance in applying Scripture to your individual situation. For your free subscription, just ask for the In Touch magazine when you write. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Or visit us online at intouch.org. Along with a real audio replay of today's radio message, you'll find many helpful resources for spiritual growth. Our address again is intouch.org. God is worthy of our adoration, but many Christians don't know how to praise the Lord. Next week, Charles Stanley gives us guidance in the area of praise and worship. So join us beginning Monday on In Touch. The teaching of Charles Stanley is touching lives with the Word of God, and is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.